Man, he is only getting started, right? He is only getting started. Yes. We're picking up in his word where we left off last week, because we are truly stronger together. I would have never experienced this at home worshiping, not like this. We need each other. Because when we come together, woo, when we come together and meet with the Lord, yeah. There's no words for it. Yeah. Oh, so strong together. I feel like I can go out there and face anything right now. So strong together. His presence and his glory, it's everything that we need. Absolutely everything that we need, because we need each other. Right before Paul teaches about this reality that we're the body of the Christ, and we all have different roles to fill and all this stuff, he gives us this word of warning. A word of warning in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And I love this Romans 1 and 2. I've preached on that many times. He tells us that for the grace given to me, because that's all that we all are, right? All that we are is the grace of God and what it has done in our lives. And each of us, we've got, different giftings, different graces. By the grace given to me, Paul said, I say to every one of you, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you. It's a word of warning, and we have this warning over and over and over again throughout the scriptures. Proverbs teaches us this in from the Passion Translation, Proverbs 11, verse 2. When you act with presumption, convinced that you're right, and it's pride in other translations, don't be surprised if you fall flat on your face, but humility leads to wisdom. And what there was this morning, I didn't sense an iota of pride at all. When we all just humble ourselves before the Lord, he lifts us up. I mean, I feel like you're floating. I mean, it's like, am I still on the ground? He lifts you up. He exalts you. As you exalt him, he exalts you. It's like a teeter-totter. And then all of a sudden, the whole teeter-totter is lifted, you know? As we humble ourselves, he lifts us up. We're also warned in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, that pride comes before destructions, an arrogant spirit before a fall. Some people think more highly of themselves than they ought to. Some people think they are stronger than they really are. And it leads to a dangerous place. Some people are setting themselves up for failure, and I don't want any of us here to be that people. In fact, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 in the Passion Translation says it this way. Your boasting becomes a prophecy of future failure. Your boast becomes a prophecy of future failure. Think about that when you're boasting in yourself and how strong you are. Well, I never struggle with that, you know. You just prophesied failure to your future. In fact, it says the higher that you lift yourself up in pride, the harder you're going to fall in disgrace. But we all know people like this, right? That, you know, forgive me in church for saying this, but the hold my beer person, right? You know, I can do that. Just wait and watch what I can do, you know. This is going to be good. I mean, it makes for some good stories, right? We all have some good stories of people who thought they could do something that they couldn't, but really it's disgraceful. It's failure. It's that just looks like fun, you know. I need to get in touch with the Amish community here in the winter and do some Amish burnouts, right? Donuts, there's the word, yep. And there's also... Not only, you know, do you have people that just think they're everything and they think they got something and we think we're standing firm, you know, but it hurts others, doesn't it? It always hurts other people. Yeah, that was unexpected. But not only do you have that, but then you've got that one-upper guy, right? Anybody know that person, right? The guy that just, you got a story, he's got a better one, you know? The Lord did something awesome for you. Well, listen what the Lord did for me. We even do it in our Christian community, right? You know, just don't be that person, right? That person who has every solution to every problem. When you share your burden with them, They always give you a solution. They always know exactly what you're supposed to do and what you ought to do, right? I'm that guy, you know, more often than not. The hero in every one of their stories. Just don't be that person. The thing about strength is that there's no way to know how strong you really are until you're put to the test. That is what this morning's entire topic is about. When our strength gets put to the test. When your unity gets put to the test. Our worship team's been walking through this, but look what the Lord did. He's good. He's good. You know, we went from, you know, I think Donnie and me were ready to walk out Wednesday night at practice, just frustrated, irritated, you know, who needs this guitar, you know. And then look what the Lord did this morning, you know. He's just that good. Yeah. And I think that's where the Lord wants us to be. It's not about any one of us. It's about Him. When you're in that broken and busted place, it doesn't feel good, but it's one of the healthiest places for you to be. Because it's got to be Him from that point, right? Action speaks louder than words. We all, if you've ever watched SpongeBob and you know this episode, he put on his strength. He blew up these balloon muscles. And then when he went with all the weightlifters, He couldn't do it. He looked strong, but he just couldn't, you know? We need to be careful not to be that person, to put on a false whatever, that we are something that we're not, because sooner or later, the truth is going to be revealed. Strength gets put to the test. But we have all this warning about that. I feel like more often than not, this isn't the problem for us. A few of us struggle with that. I struggle with this. But most of us, we don't realize how strong we actually are until we put it to the test, right? Anybody ever have this kind of scenario happen? I've had that happen in that exact style chair. I was going to do that this morning, and I know we've got an EMT, but I did not want to impale myself. I'm not going to go there and put it to the test. But all of us have been there where we thought something was stronger and it wasn't. We thought a relationship was healthy, and it wasn't. We thought that this person would be able to carry this burden with us, and they couldn't. We thought that chair was perfectly good till we sat our butt in it, and it gave way. And when it gives way, you never expect it, right? Another thing that we put to the test, right? We like to put things to the test, knock-off things. Nobody likes the knock-off, do they? Although I'll confess, I do like Fruity Hoops better than Fruit Loops, but that's just I'm struggling still, but things that are put to the test. We trust brands and we trust companies that have a better reputation, that have been around for a while, that have been tested and true, right? You know, we trust Oil of Olay more than we trust Oil of OK, right? That you find at Dollar Tree. We trust Starbucks coffee better than Buckstar coffee, you know? I mean, it just, you've got these things. You have Fruity Loops more than Fruity Hoops. There's all these weird, there's ComfoPads instead of AirPods, you know? I mean, you've got all these knockoffs that come out. And it is tempting. And you can ask my wife, I struggle in this. I'm a cheap person. And I will probably spend 5 times more buying the cheap thing and replacing it. Cheap thing, replacing it, cheap, replacing it. It's like, should have just got the good stuff to begin with. I don't know, how many Keurigs did I buy you before I bought you a Keurig? I mean, we're 3 or 4, I think, before we actually got the Keurig. Spent way more on all those cheap knockoffs that just busted, you know. I mean, that's, I'm learning, I'm growing. But it's so tempting to do that. The enemy provides counterfeits, and they look good, and they look easy, and they're always appealing to our flesh. Always appealing to our flesh, but they will always let us down. They may work for a season, but they will always fail us. So don't fall for the counterfeits. Always go for the genuine, authentic brand name, Holy Spirit branded and anointed and labeled, whatever the thing might be. You know, I've got all those knockoffs. It's really popular right now to have like spiritual readings and to have those parties and things like that. It's like, man, come on out. We got some prophetic words from you. And it's coming from a way better source, right? I mean, we've got what you need. But we've been let down before by things, by people. All of us have been there. We thought things were stronger than they really were, and they collapsed under the weight of whatever it is that we tried to trust it with. We don't know how strong something really is until it's put to the test. But the reality is, you know, all these things aside, I think I already got here, some of us are stronger than we realize. Some of us are capable of far more than we give ourselves credit for. We don't realize how strong we are until we are put to the test. And then it is proven. It is proven, it is revealed to us how strong we truly are. And although we really do know this to be true, strength has to be put to the test, you know. You know, if you run into a camp chair like that, you might want to ease into it, put it to the test before you put your full weight into it. It's almost completely unexpected by us when God puts us to the test. It's almost always unexpected. It almost always comes out of left field. We didn't see it come when we are put to the test. And often when it comes, we think God is trying to break us. God is trying to show us how miserable and wretched we really are, when really, a lot of times, God brings a test to prove how strong and genuine your faith really is. In fact, the Word of God says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. You never thought I'd quote Bob Marley in church, but here it is, you know. You never know how strong you are until being strong is your only choice. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7 says this: in all of this, all these trials and troubles and tribulations, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. He says in verse 7, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it's refined by fire, so that the genuineness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. Because when you are put to the test and you have proven yourself to be strong, what you have proven is Christ in you. That's what's being revealed. In the same way that you take gold and you burn away all of its impurities, when you take a person, you put their faith through the fire, through the tests, what is revealed is none other than Jesus Christ within us, right? It's not us, it's Him. And so we're going to pick up here where we left off last week, this unexpected thing. Oh, yeah, there's the scripture. Sorry, ahead of myself. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says this: as soon as Jesus was water baptized, He went up out of the water. In fact, He was spirit baptized too, kind of a two-for-one deal. I love it when God does two-for-ones, you know. He heals you of your physical. I had this happen before. I went to the altar. I was struggling with something. I think it was when my foot got infected at camp, and God miraculously healed it. Like, it was crazy. But He healed something emotional, too. And I'm like, I didn't even ask prayer for that. I didn't even know I was dealing with that. But the word that came forth, and then something lifted, you know? And it's like, wow. I love it when God does two-for-ones, you know, in that way. Jesus baptized in water, baptized in the Spirit. And it says, at that moment, heaven was opened. And He saw the Spirit of God descending on Him like a dove and alighting on Him. And then a voice from heaven, which said, this is My Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. You picture that happening. You know, imagine it. Holy Spirit comes fluttering down like a dove, descending on Him. Got Him beaming with light. And then the Father's voice is like, you know, Charles Heston, I got a squeaky voice, falsetto voice. But, you know, this is My Son. This is My Son. I believe He's saying that about you this morning. This is My Son. This is My daughter. My son, My daughter. You've been adopted in this family. And I love them. I am well pleased with them. And then you get led into the wilderness, into the dry places. And the devil tempts you and tries you. And you feel so alone. What happened here? The very next verse, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So the Father's like, this is My Son, whom I love, I'm well pleased with. Now, Spirit, take Him off in the wilderness. Drop Him off there alone. Let the devil tempt Him. And angels, back off. Leave Him. Like, what an unexpected way for God to work. When I get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I'm feeling the move of the Spirit, I do not expect the Spirit to move me into temptation before the devil. The Spirit didn't tempt Jesus to sin. But the Spirit led him in front of the devil himself to be tempted. I mean, we'll talk about an unexpected way to work. I've been scratching my head on this one for a really, really long time, and I think he's going to reveal some things here this morning. And of course, we know what happens here, but just think about that reality. The reality is the devil didn't exactly come running and rushing in to test him right away, right? He was on a spiritual high. The Father just announced his love for him, his favor that he had. He just got baptized in the Spirit. The devil didn't tempt him right then and there. In fact, it says in verse 2, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. Then the tempter came to him. You see, the devil waits for just the right moment to pounce on us. We know, I think it's James 4:8, is it? That the devil prowls around like a roaring lion waiting for someone to devour. I watch my our cat. I mean, she's this fat, lazy house cat. But man, when she gets into the prowl mode, when a moth comes in the house, she's like sneaking around. She's watching. And she waits for just the right moment. And then, boom, she pounces. And it's over, like that fast. You know, that's what the devil does. He waits. So just the right moment. He somehow knows our weaknesses. He knows exactly how to leverage them to turn us away from God, his promises, his plans, his purposes, and being the deceiver that he is. He often does it by God's word or by good things, good deeds, good actions. He tempts us to turn away from God using God's everything. Like, it's amazing. But that is the deceitful thing about deceit, right? Is that deceit is deceitful. And when the deceiver deceives you with deceit, it's really easy to be deceived. I mean, it's, right? It's very deceitful. You don't know when you've been deceived because you've been deceived. Get it? Or, yeah, I could have fun with that for a while. In fact, he even masquerades as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us that. So the tempter came and he said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And by the way, I don't like this picture because they're not equals. And the devil doesn't look like that. But it gives a mental picture, right? You know, of what's happening here. It's on. It's on. It's a good visual. It's an unbiblical visual, but it's a good visual, right? Okay, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread, because he's really hungry, right? I've never fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I've heard testimonies of people who had, and it takes a miracle to do that, because you would die by any natural means. So he tempted him to make the stones become bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So when you're watching these YouTube prophecies, be careful. There are many good ones out there. There are also many deceivers and false prophets out there, and they will use the word of God, and they will say it in a way that seems right. That's what the devil just did, right? He quoted, it is written. And it's accurate to the situation, everything, you know, it makes sense. Jesus answered him, but it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. It's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and then the angels came and attended to him. There's a common thread to the way that the enemy comes and tempts us and tries to pull us away. First, he questioned Jesus' identity. Every time he said, if you are the Son of God, he questions your identity. Are you really a child of God? Are you really a son? Are you really a daughter? Are you really in good standing with him? I mean, I saw what you did there this morning. And you really think that you're right with God? You know, he will tempt your identity, you know? Or go on and on and on about that, but for time's sake. So he questioned Jesus' identity each time. And then this is the really tricky and deceiving part. And I'd never seen it this way before the Spirit kind of revealed it. The devil then, not only did he question his identity, but then he would provide a way for Jesus to, quote-unquote, fulfill his purposes. but in the wrong way and at the wrong time. He provided a way for miraculous provision, right? Turn these stones into bread. Jesus was called to be the bread of life, to grant eternal life to us. Satan made a way, right? Made a way for him to miraculously provide. Then Satan tempted him to lay down his life. Throw yourself off of this. Jesus was called. One of the purposes that he had in life was to lay down his life on the cross. And so the enemy's like, here's a way for you to fulfill your purpose. Throw yourself down from here. Then he tempted him. He showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and all their splendor. Jesus was called. One of his purposes was not only to lay down his life, but then for the Spirit to raise it back up so that he would be King of Kings. King over all those kingdoms. And what did the enemy tempt him to do? Here's a way for you to become King of Kings. It's so deceiving. When the enemy offers you knockoffs and shortcuts, and he says, well, hey, there's Sarah's servant over there. You know, let's fulfill the promise of God. And we got an Ishmael. Don't fall for it. The paths to God's purposes being fulfilled in your life, they're not always easy ones. I mean, I'm only 38 now, and I've found that they're usually the hardest paths. The enemy's path is usually really quick and easy and, you know, very tempting. The path of the Lord, it's usually a challenging one, because he cares more about sort of who you are than what you do. It's not just about fulfilling the purpose and doing what God called me to do. It's more about being who I'm supposed to be while I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And that takes time, and that takes testing to form and to shape my character, my integrity. It gets put to the test. This life is challenging enough, and it's full of temptation as it is. So why did Jesus have to face the devil alone and this ultimate temptation? And then God, remind me of this scripture, which kind of made sense of all this. Like, Spirit, why did you lead him off to be tempted? Why did all these things happen? It says here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the second part of that verse, John said the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So miraculously providing eternal life, paying the price for our sin on the cross, and then resurrecting again to the ultimate place of authority, those were all ways to destroy the devil's work. And God could talk about it, and Jesus could do it in one way, and he could boast about doing it, but it had to be put to the test. If he really was called to put an end to the devil's work, then he had to face the devil and his work in weakness, tempted and tried. Without any angelic assistance, without the Father's covering, without the Spirit's intercession, in full and weak human form, Jesus had to face the devil and overcome the ultimate temptation. Otherwise, this could never be said of Jesus. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he didn't sin. He couldn't make that boast without actually doing it. It had to be put to the test. Jesus had to leave his throne and become wrapped in this weak flesh so that he could actually overcome the work of the devil. So he could actually do it in the flesh as we are. He had to do it. Jesus destroyed the devil's work, not only from his throne of ultimate authority as the commander of angel armies. Remember on the cross, Jesus said, or when he was being arrested, he was like, I could call down angel armies right now, legions of angels, and put an end to this. He could have done it, but he chose to submit his will to the will of the Father. He knew this was the only way. It was a path of hardship and testing and persecution and difficulty, but he knew that was the only way. He had to do it from a place of weakness, not a place of ultimate authority and strength. That he had to overcome sin and death and temptation and every work of the devil. He had to overcome sickness and disease and bondage. He had to overcome all those things from a place of weakness, not a place of Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Because only then could his strength really be put to the test, and could he really, truly do it and then freely offer it up for us, right? Because Jesus said that it is finished. It's an unexpected way for God to work, for him to really humble himself completely and totally. But it's an exciting way that God worked, because Jesus can completely and totally relate to us. What you're going through, what you're feeling, what you're thinking, he's been there. He dealt with it the same way. And that's the only reason that he can give you a victory. Because he dealt with it, but he dealt with it correctly. Sorry, I've got to stand here. He dealt with it, but he dealt with it correctly and appropriately. He never sinned. He was tempted, but he never sinned. He was weak, but he never gave in to that weakness. He was tried, but he never failed the test. Never once. He was perfect. He was sinless. He can empathize with us. He knows how we feel because he felt that way. Not only does he relate with where we're at, he has gone ahead of us to the ultimate victory over it all. He relates to our weakness, but now it's from a place of strength. He has pioneered a way. He has made a way where there is no other way, so that he empathizes with us, but he's calling us into his place of authority. He's calling us into a place of strength. He is calling us into a place of provision where everything is ours. He is freely giving us the victory, not because you need to earn it, but because he already paid the price for it. He is freely giving you the victory over all those things. He understands where you're at, but he ain't there anymore, is he? He is in a place of ultimate power and authority, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's calling you into that place. What an unexpected yet awesome way for God to work. Paul wrote it this way in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. He said, that's why, that reality in mind, that's why for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So when we face weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecution and difficulties, what we're facing is opportunities to let Christ's light shine through us. Other people can see his mighty, victorious hand interceding on our behalf. When our faith is put to the test, it is nothing more or less than an opportunity for our faith to be proven, to be revealed. People see us. Let them see your weaknesses. Let them see your shame and your disgrace, because they're going to see way more than that. They can relate to that, because they walk that same thing. People who haven't given their lives to the Lord yet. What they don't have is that thing beyond it. That thing that meets your weakness and your disgrace and your shame. It meets it, and it covers it, and it complements it, and a weakness becomes a strength. When they see the Spirit of God moving in your life, they're not going to see the Spirit of God moving in your life. They're just going to see a strong person who can stand up to anything if they don't also see your weaknesses. That it's not me, it's him. On my own, you know me. But God, when he comes into that situation, everything changes. Then it is Christ's strength on display through our weaknesses. And that's why we can say, again, what Peter said here, in all this we can rejoice. We're not going to feel like rejoicing. But through faith, you can choose to rejoice and to count it all joy, as James wrote and taught us to do. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. But those things have come. Those tests have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, and gold prices are pretty high right now if you haven't heard, which perishes even though it's refined by fire, so that the genuineness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I always read this verse and I thought, yep, on the day that I kick the butt, well, not even that, on the day that Jesus returns, his glory will be revealed. That's not what this verse is saying. Jesus Christ is revealed here and now through you, through your weakness, through your struggle, through your shame. That is when Jesus Christ is revealed. He's revealed through your life in that way. So when God puts you to the test, don't despair. Don't get discouraged. If he's pointing his finger on a weak spot in your life, he's not doing it to shame you. He's doing it to be like, let me help you there. You're weak here. Let me be your strength. Let me be your crutch, you know. We always say that in a negative way, right? He wants to be your strength. even though you are weak. He wants to be that. His glory is revealed through that. And so because of all that, we can rejoice because Jesus Christ is being revealed through our lives. It's Him and Him alone. We live in this flesh, and those trials, they're not joyful themselves, but we can count them all joy, even as Jesus endured the cross and counted it joy. We can strike it up as joy, right? And if I go to the worship team, go forward again, because we know this truth, and we sing some of these things that, in this song that we're going to sing here, Friday's disappointment was Sunday's empty tomb, right? He's going to meet you there. That resurrection power lives in you. The same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave, it lives in you. And so when you face the test, let Christ shine. Let Christ shine. He's going to do something awesome, something amazing, right? Because we know all these truths and these realities, that there's nothing too hard for our God. Nothing at all. There's nothing He cannot do. Impossible is not even a word to Him, right? I mean, just all things are possible, not only to Him, but all things are possible to us who believe, right? All things are possible. So this morning is going to be the beginning of a beautiful thing when our lives reveal Christ, because they're not our own, right? Yes, Lord. So Lord, we just give You all praise, all honor, all glory, Lord. We thank You for being revealed through our weaknesses, Lord. Forgive us for hiding our weaknesses and our shame and all those times that we blow it. Forgive us for trying to hide them and to put on a face in pride to make it look like we're something we're not. Lord, help us just to be raw, honest people, Lord, so that when they see us, Lord, when those who need You see us, they see those weaknesses and they see those failures and they see those struggles. But they see You meeting us in that place. They see heaven meet earth through our lives. Thank You, Jesus. May You just be glorified and honored this morning, Lord.